Hi everyone. It's been a lot of joyful faces today. I think everybody's smiling the more the sun is out. It's nice to have it out today. This week we did receive some sad news from Mr. Dennis Luker that he no longer feels able, due to health, to fulfill the role as President of the United Church of God. Therefore, though he hopes to finish this present term, and we've had further news since then that will come up in the announcements, he will not seek another term, nor would he accept any offer to another term. Something that quickly stands out in this letter is his expression of profound gratefulness to Jesus Christ for leading us through our recent troubled times and into a period of, quote, growing strength, stability, and unity. Additionally, he ends his letter with direct thanks to us, not for showing faith and dedication to him or his office, but to God and the body of Christ, which is us. If you'll turn quickly to Philippians chapter 2, in verse 3, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, reading from that verse we read, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself." Lowliness of mind is a phrase that is equated with humility or meekness. And esteem simply means to judge or account or suppose or think. So, but in humility or meekness, let each judge others better than himself. So if we take those terms and we look at that term that we hear today often, low self-esteem, this would be somebody who judges themselves lowly. Not humility, but more like humiliation. Something bad or lacking, having little or no value compared to something else. The opposite term, high self-esteem, would be to judge oneself highly. And that's not necessarily always from the perspective of pride, but it most certainly can be. But having a positive view of one's own worth compared to something. I don't actually want to talk about self-esteem today, but esteem of others, as is alluded to or actually directly brought up in Philippians, based on a proper perspective of oneself. Today I want to explain a few simple steps or points. Yes, Kelly Irvin's going to provide points to help each of us further develop humility as a much needed and required foundation for esteeming others more significantly than ourselves. In 1908, Gilbert K. Chesterton, in his book Orthodoxy, wrote, "Nowadays, the part of a man that a man does assert is exactly the part he ought not to assert, himself. The part he doubts is exactly the part he ought not to doubt, the divine reason." Now, I have not really read further to know what his definition of the divine reason is. But for the purposes of today's discussion, let's define it with a verse in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires..." Listen closely, "who desires all men," that should be, you know, any human being, "to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." So why don't we keep that concept of divine reason in mind, that God wants all to know the truth and to be saved. He's got a plan and he's got a way. Our greatest barrier to humility and meekness is found in pride, self-serving behavior. So how do we overcome pride, which promotes ourselves, and replace it with humility, which promotes others? Well, the first point I want to present today, I'm just naming self-examination. We must know our own reality. And without comparing that reality with the reality of others. We must take stock of what is right and what is wrong, and fully and completely acknowledge what we will always find to be our shortcomings. In Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, it reads, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. And we're all very familiar with 17 and verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? If we do not examine ourselves, we will not see ourselves truly as we should. But this immediately leads to the second point, which is a really, really big point. There's no way anybody can explain this point in a few minutes. It really takes a lifetime to cover, and we should use that lifetime that we have to work out that explanation. That number two point is compare ourselves only to God. The fact is that point number one, self-examination, can only start the process of developing proper humility if one acknowledges the difference between right and wrong. But where is the source of right except from God? So when we examine ourselves, as I already hinted, we must never compare ourselves to other people, but to God. In Romans 3:23, we read, For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every member of the human race was, is, and will be in the very same boat. You've heard of being in the same boat. But this boat, whether having lived an overall good life or a bad life, a healthy life or a sick life, a wealthy life or a poor life, slave or free, white or not, that boat is earth. And this earth is everyone's grave, everyone's, without the salvation of Jesus Christ. We're all in the same boat. So what is the advantage of me comparing myself to you? Or I say, I won't compare myself to my brethren. I'll compare myself to that atheist down the street. What's the advantage? He and I are in the same boat when it comes to comparing ourselves to one another, whether I consider him better than me or worse than me. We should not think that way about other people. As soon as I start comparing myself to another person, even as a follower of Jesus Christ, comparing myself even to those who do not appear to follow Christ, I assure myself I will not come to a proper state of humility or meekness. And without developing true humility, I cannot properly esteem others as better than myself. It is one thing to develop a proper view of ourselves by looking inward and comparing ourselves only to God, the first two points. But this is not enough to have true humility, which leads to the third and final point. Honor God with action. When we properly examine our own hearts and carnal actions, and we then properly compare ourselves to God, intentionally daring not to compare ourselves to others, this brings us to true repentance, and only then do we gain the advantage of God's favor. Remembering that repentance is not just being sorry for sin, but turning away from sin and living out the truth. After committing a terrible sin, and this was really against God, David writes in Psalm 51, verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." But he goes on in verse 13, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you." So King David, already a follower of the Lord, a man after God's own heart, came to a point where he had really messed up. And he had to repent again. And he didn't compare himself to other people when he did this, but to God. And he found himself lacking, even deserving death. But he goes on to profess that if God would forgive him and renew him, he would teach other sinners God's ways, accounting himself as a sinner. This leads us back to the first scripture given today in Philippians. But let's begin in verse 1 of chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." Six things. Some things mean the same thing as the others. "Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." So, seven things. Verse 4. Surrounding this instruction to treat others better than ourselves are actions, affection, mercy, like-mindedness, love, unity, and looking out for others. As we grow in God's understanding, if we examine ourselves, comparing ourselves only to God, then we can grow in godly humility, a critical quality for carrying out true actions of love for God, as shown by our love for our fellow man. Now, I did say godly humility, and I said that because God himself is humble. Jesus Christ announced in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart." This also means humble or meek. "And you will find rest for your souls." As we come to the spring holy days, let us not come to them following some sort of annual cycle of self-condemnation. For if we are Christian, we have already been freed from sin through Jesus Christ at baptism and have been given the power to overcome with the receiving of God's Holy Spirit. Instead, let us examine ourselves, comparing ourselves not to others, but to the perfect righteousness of God, not to beat ourselves up, but to be reminded that by His sacrifice and by His power are we made alive, a destiny that, as Paul professed to Timothy, is intended by God for all mankind in due time. Every day, and as each year passes, we should be able to come to the Passover, not just older, but wiser in the knowledge of God's righteousness, because we spent all year comparing ourselves not to others, but to God's righteousness. So we do not come to each Passover in some sort of recycling of repentance. We should be doing that every day, finding our faults and repenting and changing. And then also being thankful when God shows us how to live. You know, it's not just looking for bad stuff. This should lead you and me to a greater state of gratefulness and joy. With each coming Passover, our hope should be growing. Because more than yesterday, more than the last year at Passover, and more than at any other time in the past, we have developed a greater humility and ability to esteem others as better than ourselves, even though we know we are all in the same boat. Jesus Christ was and is perfect, and he always will be. As part of that perfection, he was, is, and always will be humble and meek. So much so that though we were dead in our sins, he was willing to die for me, for you, for us, and for everybody else. Let each of us esteem others, all others, as he esteems us.